I'm George Stevens, and I'm a person. I was held as property as a child. Even before my birth, I was called a slave in an America you wouldn't recognize. But folks like you helped me escape north to freedom. And in 1864, I joined the infantry to fight for my country. I fought so all slaves would be recognized as persons, not property. And we won. But today in Colorado, there are still people called property. Children, just like I was. And that America you thought you wouldn't recognize is all around you. And these children are being killed. This November, vote yes on Amendment 62. Amendment 62 declares unborn children persons, not property. And that's the America I fought for. So visit personhoodcolorado.com. And in November, vote yes on 62. It's the right thing to do.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott sitting in for Bob Enyart. Remember, folks, October 2nd is the Colorado Right to Life Banquet. We need all of you to come, not just because Colorado Right to Life needs the help to promote the fight against abortion and for Amendment 62, but Pastor Walter Hoy will be there, and he is a fabulous speaker. Not only a fabulous speaker, but he has a message that everyone needs to hear. If you haven't heard Pastor Hoy's message, you need to come and listen. He has a personal stake in why he understands and believes that people are not property. And that story is extremely compelling, and you need to hear it. We are going to have a special report today from a man on the street at an anti-rally. And that report's going to come from Bob. Bob Enyart, are you online?
Yes, Joe. Thanks for being there in studio. We're down in Colorado Springs.
Now, what are you doing in Colorado Springs?
Well, the pro-aborts, the abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood, they had an anti-rally today. And it was at a pavilion outside of the backyard of the courthouse. And it was a really picturesque setting, Joe. What a place to advocate for the killing of unborn children.
Make it look and feel really, really comfortable.
Yeah, and they had politicians and all kinds of professionals. And they had their ugly, boring, no 62 signs. Mm-hmm. And guess what? There were more yes on 62, love the baby signs there than there were pro-abort signs.
Wow.
There were pro-lifers all around the event and mingled all through the event. And just like at the Capitol in Denver a couple weeks ago at Planned Parenthood's anti-rally, just like then, the pro-life, love the baby, yes on 62 signs were everywhere.
I saw that. Someone just emailed me a picture. I couldn't believe my eyes. It looks like they're in like a little pavilion.
Yep.
And all you can see is yes on 62 signs going up the steps to it. And in it. It's just unbelievable, Bob.
Yeah. And Joe, then all around those signs that you're seeing mm-hmm. are yes on 62, love the baby signs with the six and the two forming a heart and the baby right in the middle of the six. Like a baby in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And that logo is so inspired, it's so beautiful, that the cameramen, the news videographers, and the still photographers, they can't keep their eyes off it, they can't keep their lens off it, and so we are stealing so much of the child killers' media.
Fabulous. Now, what happened? What were they doing at this anti-62 rally? Were they speaking to a lot of people?
Well, there were not a lot of people. I would say, and as far as political rallies, it was a total dud. We, the pro-lifers, the personhood Christians, we had more people there than they did, more signs there, And, well, Joe, I think maybe you're going to have to reprimand me because it's hard to admit, but I behaved badly at their anti-rally.
Oh, no, not pastors behaving badly. I can't believe that, Bob. What'd you do?
Well, it is true. I behaved pretty badly. In fact, my 12-year-old son came with a carload of us down to Colorado Springs so that there'd be a Christian witness there. And I asked Zachary, as we were leaving, I asked Zach, what did you think of how that went? And he said, well, it didn't go as I expected. So here's what happened, Joe. From the beginning, they were about five steps up on a pavilion.
Uh-huh.
And we had all the pro-lifers walk right up, and we were right at the base of the steps. I was off to the left of the speaker. And, you know, we believe that there should be no child killing with tranquility.
Amen.
So to have a bunch of professionals standing up, talking in a dignified way about medical rights and women's rights, and, of course, never once did they mention that there's a baby involved? Never one time.
No, why would they want to tell the truth when they're making so much money off of killing these kids?
Right, exactly. So I decided, and I don't know that this was the right decision, and when we see the Lord, you know, I'll hear from him on if this was the right thing or not. But I decided it was too despicable to have people in a professional way advocating literally dismembering children. So I started shouting. You know, my voice, I was recovering from laryngitis, but now I'm struggling to talk. I shouted, don't kill children. Don't kill children. At the top of my lungs, it reverberated off of the structure and the people. And, Joe, I must have shouted it 400 times.
Oh, Bob. That is so difficult to do. But if the Lord is going to speak to you about that, he's also going to speak to me about that because I've done that in the past.
Well,
I don't think that's behaving badly. That's telling the truth.
Well, I know, Joe. I think we're a bad influence on each other.
Oh, maybe.
So, yeah, you know, if somebody would have done that outside of the walls of Auschwitz, they would have won the Nobel Prize. The difference is, of course, that they would have been killed.
Yes.
And so we Christians, we don't have any excuse for not raising our voices against the slaughter of innocent children.
That's right. None.
So Joe, each speaker would try to speak, and you could tell they had a very hard time because 10 feet away was a grown man in his 50s, bellowing out, almost like with a megaphone, because I was holding two of the round plastic signs in front of my mouth, and it just echoed it. And bellowing out, amplified, don't kill kids.
So you used our yard signs, as a megaphone.
That's right, and everybody was holding yard signs.
Oh, wow.
And so they asked, you know, a few people came up and they were trying to speak. They kept, you know, people their side would come up and say, you got to stop doing this. This is hurting your side.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
If I was hurting my side, why would they tell me to stop doing it?
I know. They would help us do it.
Yeah, right. So the speakers had a hard time focusing. You could tell some of them, you know, we were talking about kill and don't kill, don't kill, don't kill children 400 times. But then they invited the first politician to come up to speak, and they said, we have a petition up here. It's enlarged on an easel stand, and he's going to be the first one to sign our No on 62 petition. So he went up to sign, and then he was going to speak, and the MC said, anyone in the audience who's willing to sign our petition, please come up here.
Oh.
So I walked right up immediately.
You did?
I walked right up.
Oh, my goodness. He's never going to say that again. You've been yelling and bellowing for how long now? 400 times? And then you walk up on the...
for 15 minutes nonstop yelling.
Oh, my goodness,
Bob. So, and then
a
couple TV cameras stations there, of course, and the local media and some state media. So I walked up. He said, anybody in the audience who will sign this petition, you're invited up. So I took that invitation literally and instantly, and I went right up there.
What did you do?
And there's an MC, a guy, and then a woman who must be a Planned Parenthood, you know, child killer. She said, you're going to sign the petition? I said, yes, give me the, they had a big, thick magic marker.
Oh, wow.
I said, yeah, give me the marker. And she went to hand it to me, and she thought better of it, and she pulled it back, and she said, you'll have to sign last. So I said, good, I'll just stand here at the podium, and I started presenting that it's wrong to kill children from their podium at their event.
Oh, my goodness, Bob, I can't believe it. You were talking to all of them at one time from their podium.
Yeah, and real quickly, a few of the pro-aborts came up and put their hands over the microphone and bent it down toward the ground. I think they broke the poor sound guy's microphone.
Oh.
But, well, maybe he deserves it for helping a child-killing rally, come to think of it.
Yeah, good point.
You know, you shouldn't take money from child killers.
You shouldn't have anything to do with child killers.
Right. So your salary shouldn't be based on killing children. So, Joe, the politician who went up to speak, he never spoke.
He didn't.
No, he never spoke.
Because of you yelling, don't kill the children, stop killing children?
From the podium. Their whole group was behind me.
Oh,
I
understand now.
And I became the spokesman for their group up on the pavilion. And so then their MC never got the podium back.
You're kidding.
No, the rally fell into complete disarray.
And you just kept speaking, and their speakers didn't speak?
Right.
And Bob, that is behaving fabulously.
Well, I'm not sure, Joe.
I think it is.
I think we got to ask the Lord, you know, because sometimes our flesh could get in it, and we could enjoy dissembling the enemy, the child killers. But it seemed like the right thing to do, and they fell into total disarray. They weren't even able to make a single statement to close their event. Their speakers were not able to come up and speak. And a number of our people came up to join me at the podium.
Bob, you stopped murderers from promoting their cause. That's a good thing.
I think it is a good thing. Now we got to stop them from killing the kids.
Yes.
But yeah, we did stop their rally, and we took over their ground. You know, when you fight a war, yard by yard, you take ground.
Right, and when you take ground, you plant a flag, your flag on it. Today, you planted our yard sign on their ground.
Yeah, so Joe, when we put up the show summary today, I haven't seen that photo you're talking about, but maybe we could put that online at kgov.com with the show summary.
Yeah, I was planning on doing that. It's a great photo.
Well, what does it show?
It just shows the little pavilion that you're in.
Yeah.
And only 62 signs going up the steps and on the podium. That's all I could see. I got only a few seconds to look at it. It just came in before the show, but it was a fabulous shot.
Oh, good. Yeah, that was a picture of their rally. And I love it when the media covers the child killers' rallies and the quotes in the newspapers and on the radio and on TV, the quotes are from the Christian pro-lifers.
That is the best. That is the best. When the truth gets out and it's from their rally. Bob, was there anyone from Focus on the Family there today?
I didn't see anyone there. No. That would have been good, huh?
Yeah, it would have been good if they could have been there to help. But you were there.
Yeah, we're right here in Colorado Springs. There's 100 Christian ministries headquartered here. Focus on the Family is the largest. And so far, they've been completely silent. This is the only state with a pro-life law on the ballot in the entire country. And Focus on the Family, Greg Jackson called into our radio show 2 weeks ago. And Joe, he's one of the leading conservative authors in the country. the Conservative Book Club, Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies. He hosted the presidential session at the CPAC conference for 2 years in a row. He introduced all the presidential candidates like Rudy Giuliani and Mike Huckabee and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And he called in and he said, you know, Bob, there's so much happening in our state to fight for personhood and Amendment 62 and stop child killing and focus on the family has been completely silent.
Yes, they have.
Yeah,
yes,
that's a tragedy. We're only a month out from the election. Well, actually, at Colorado Right to Life's banquet, October 2nd, will be exactly 1 month out from the election.
That's right. Bob, it's very hard for me to understand how Christians from all over the state and all over the country can turn a blind eye to telling the truth to the country, to stopping child killing in their state, just by shoving it on the rug with, oh, it's not the right wording, it's the wrong time, it's not going to happen. It's as though they believe that God has no power and politicians and courts have it all.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. When Christians will rise up with a clear voice saying, don't kill kids, we're going to stop child killing. Joe, look at what happened with Ken Buck running for U.S. Senate.
Yes.
Now, he wants to be a leader. He has spent the last year and a half telling pro-lifers everywhere he was 100% pro-life. He signed the personhood petition to get Amendment 62 on the ballot.
Yes, he did.
He answered a survey saying he supported Amendment 62.
And now what has he done?
He said he would never confirm a pro-abortion judge for any federal bench. He would never do that as a U.S. senator. And, Joe, his promises included that he would introduce a federal ban on abortion. Well, now he has broken his promises on everything I've just mentioned. He caved in. You know, the Tea Party's the conservative outrage is against the establishment, the lying politicians who talk about principles like inalienable rights. They talk about these things, but then it turns out it's just talk. They're lying to us.
It just depends on which group they're talking to and what that group wants to hear. And I'm
that's exactly right. And Joe, we've said this on my show. Listeners know that Republican pro-lifers, they campaign in the primary as pro-life.
That's right.
They get to the general election and they're moderate, and they then get elected and they govern as liberals.
That's right, and you've been saying that for years, Bob.
For years and years, and Ken Buck is fitting exactly in that mold. And Joe, look what it took to get him to cave. All right, look what it took to get him to compromise. It took the abortion lobby raising money for Michael Bennett, a child killer, to say that Ken Buck is too extreme. And so Ken Buck reneged on all his promises, and he is going to confirm judges who will kill children. Is he kidding me? Is that the kind of 100% pro-life leader that we helped to put on the ballot?
He's just showing us that what politicians are all about, what you've been saying for years, Bob.
That's what's happened. And, you know, an amendment doesn't lie to you. An amendment does not lie to you. So, Joe, this is what Ken Buck should have done. When Michael Bennett started running ads saying Ken Buck is too extreme for Colorado, Ken Buck should have shot back like a man with courage, and he should have said, Michael Bennett supports what Planned Parenthood does to babies in the womb. They kill them. That is too extreme. It's cruel. Colorado must be a safe place for children.
That's exactly what he should have done, and that's exactly what any man of integrity would have done. But
yeah,
he doesn't have that.
Yeah, that's what he should have done. He should have gone on the offense. Being on the defense when it comes to the inalienable right to life and to killing children, being on the defense is a losing strategy. And you know what, Joe? Supporting personhood was a winning issue for Ken Buck.
Yes, it was.
It was a winning issue. That's why he is on the ballot. That is why Ken Buck is on the ballot.
And it's also why he's going to lose, because he's backpedaled. And he's lied.
Now that he said that he will not vote for Amendment 62, and he has said he will not introduce a federal ban on abortion, and Joe, he said he will confirm judges who are pro-choice. That's his words, pro-choice. He'll confirm those judges. Now he's going to start losing. He's going to lose. You know, Ronald Reagan won landslides, and he was 100% pro-life, no exceptions.
That's right.
And Reagan wasn't always 100% pro-life, no exceptions. As a governor of California, he was a basket case.
Yes, he was.
He did wrong, but he learned. He learned, and the stronger he became to stand up for life. And back in the late 70s and 80s, abortion was the number one issue that people voted on the, at the ballot. Joe, I remember, you know, I'm old, right? I'm in my 50s.
Yeah, you're old.
I remember the exit polls. Abortion was the number one issue people voted on, and Ronald Reagan benefited in double digits from the abortion vote. And ever since Reagan, every major Republican candidate has compromised on child killing, and they're destroying their own base. They're destroying the people who put in the blood, sweat, and tears, the money, and the votes to put them on the ballot, and they are insulting us, and they're betraying children.
Bob, for years, the Republican Party was able to pull the wool over the pro-lifers' eyes with regulations for years, but this personhood movement has dispelled those falsehoods.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Because we're not talking about wait 24 hours and then you could kill the baby.
Right.
We're talking about a right that comes from God that Ken Buck has no right to negate.
And that's exactly what he's done. It's exactly what he's done. He's lied and he's flown in the face of God.
Sure. If he was in Germany and it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer trying to get the Lutheran Church to stand up against the Nazis, and you know the Lutheran Church refused, but they did end up hating Dietrich Bonhoeffer. That's who they hated. They hated Bonhoeffer, who was eventually martyred by the National Socialists and Hitler. But if Ken Buck was there, and he's the same person he is now, well, he would have said, you know, he'd be running for office, and he'd said, I'm against the Holocaust, I'm against killing Jews. But then when they call him an extremist, he would say, well, I'd vote to put pro-Holocaust judges on the bench. I'm not an extremist. I'll put them on the bench. Just because they want to kill the innocent doesn't mean they're disqualified in my eyes, in Ken Buck's eyes. Well, Joe, the buck stops here. And if he thinks that he has the standing to negate God's privilege to give children a right to life, and he could confirm judges who openly admit to being pro-choice that they will kill children, pro-abortion, well then, he has to realize that he is bringing himself down.
Himself along with everyone else that listens to him, because his message is a lie. And what we need is someone who understands where extremists live, and that's in the pro-abort camp, and someone that's not afraid to say that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You got child killers calling a pro-lifer an extremist, and the pro-lifer buckles.
That, to me, is insane. They're killing children every single day. They're ripping the arms and legs off of innocent little baby boys and girls. They're ruining their mothers' lives, but we're extreme because we say, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
Doesn't
exactly.
make any sense.
Right. So Ken Buck could have had courage. He could have told the truth that Michael Bennett advocates what Planned Parenthood does to children in the womb. They kill them. That is not only extreme, it is cruel. And Colorado needs to be a safe place for children.
And Colorado also needs to understand that this radio program is just about the only radio program you're going to hear this kind of stuff on. Right from the horse's mouth, right at the event, No backpedaling, no lollygaggling.
No, what did you say? No buck pedaling?
No buck pedaling is right. No buck pedaling.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, he's broken his three main campaign promises already.
Already.
These are the promises that have to do with killing innocent children. How could Ken Buck possibly break those promises? And you know what? He caved in with the abortion lobby, raising funds to call him names. Just imagine the horror if he got to the U.S. Senate on our money and our votes, trusting him, and he's got, say, in 2 years, a Republican president administration that nominates a pro-choice judge like they all do.
Yes.
And just imagine, what is Ken Buck going to do? He's going to stand up to his party's president? No way. He's going to stand up to the president of the Senate?
No.
They're going to say to him, look, you are a freshman senator. You toe the party line. You are not going to get the whole party to turn against you and vote against your president's nominee. And you know what he would do?
He'd buckle.
He'd buckle. He's already showed us he can't take the heat of the abortion lobby calling him names. How is he going to take the pressure of the power and money base of the Republican Party, which is pro-choice, pro-abortion?
Right.
How's he going to stand up to them?
When he can't stand up to the Democrats.
Right. He can't stand up to Michael Bennett, a girly man who kills kids.
That's right.
And he's going to stand up to the Republican Party as a freshman senator?
No, he's not, Bob. He's not going to be able to. I don't think he's going to be able to win this race either, because he's dumped his
base. I remember another Republican pro-lifer who ran for U.S. Senate in Colorado.
Yeah?
His name was Hank Brown.
I don't know
him. And Hank Brown told all the gullible Christians he was pro-life.
Yeah.
And all the Christians I knew, they were supporting him, donating his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
They were passing out literature for him. And I begged them not to, because he's lying. He's a pro-abort. And they say, no, he's lying to the media.
Oh, no, never.
Telling us the truth.
Never. Bob, we're going to have to go. We have 57 donations of our 200 in the telethon, folks. Please, this is the only place that you're going to hear this kind of information, where you're going to be right on the hot seat with all of us as we go out.